In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning and welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. We've been involved in a study of Romans chapter 14 and the first seven verses of chapter 15. We're talking about the differences between personal preferences and Bible convictions. Last time we were together, we read the last verses of Romans 14, and we saw that we are to edify one another and not cause somebody else to stumble. Now, the word stumble in the Greek means to cause a person to sin. It's not just, well, I don't like that. Well, that hasn't caused a person to stumble, according to the Bible. And it's not just, well, I don't think you ought to do that. That's still not causing a person to sin. It's not the sin of anger if you don't follow his conviction. But rather, if you do that, I am more susceptible to temptation and falling into sin myself. Now, that's exactly what it means to cause a brother to stumble. And so, consequently, if my action is causing my brother to stumble, the question is, will his faith be destroyed if I do this thing? Will his faith be destroyed? And so, let's talk about the attitude of the stronger brother. First of all, it's the spirit of charity. The spirit of charity. It's not an attitude of, well, I have the right to, or, well, I ought to, but it's the spirit of, I want to. I want to build up my fellow brother. It's the spirit of discipleship. It's the idea of educating the weaker brother's conscience by the word of God. But if this becomes an argument, stop and leave. Because it says in verse 1 of chapter 14, not to doubtful disputations. In other words, not to arguing. It's the spirit of discipleship. Now, in verse 16, it says, don't let your despising of the weaker brother give unbelievers an opportunity to talk against Christianity. Oh, so many times. Unbelievers watch judging taking place and despising taking place, and their attitude toward Christianity as a whole is destroyed because of our judging and our despising. See, the same thing is true for the weaker brother's comments about the stronger brother. Verse 20 says, for meat, destroy not the work of God. The word meat, remember talking about, is it okay to eat this meat offered to idols or not okay? Basically, whatever you want to put in that blank for blank, don't destroy the work of God. The word destroy there means to reduce or to reduce to uselessness. You know, so many churches have been reduced to uselessness because of the arguing and bickering and judging that has taken place within the body of Christ. The real issues are not the rules, but the relationship to Christ. It says in verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. There's relationship. Joy, peace, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. See, righteousness, that's your attitude toward God. Peace, that's your relationship with believers. Joy, that's within yourself. So there's the entire picture of your impact and influence. Righteousness to God, peace with other believers, and joy within yourself. So it's not the externals, but the eternals that must be first in our lives. I'll say that again. It's not the externals, what we do or don't do, but it's the eternals. What makes for eternal benefit for the cause of Christ? That has to be first in our lives. So, what is my attitude? Spirit of charity, a spirit of discipleship. And the question should be, am I doing this particular thing by faith? The word faith there is the word conviction. It's between the believer and his Lord. Between the believer and his Lord. Since faith comes by the word of God, Romans 10:17, anything that I do that I cannot back up with the word is sin. It's sin. So anything not addressed in the Word is a preference. Is a preference. So I guess the question is, am I receiving other brethren, even when we're different? Am I edifying the other brethren? And then lastly, am I pleasing the other brethren? The first seven verses of Romans 15, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify, that's in the Greek continually, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So it starts out in chapter 14, verse 1, to receive other brethren, even though they believe differently. And it finishes up in verse 7 of chapter 15, to receive each other. So the question is, am I pleasing myself or am I pleasing others? See, Paul isn't just simply saying we ought to continually give in to the weaker brother's desires. Jesus didn't give in to the non-scriptural demands of the Pharisees and their traditions. Note in verse 2, the Bible says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. In other words, coming to the knowledge of the truth and maturity. Just as a loving mother comforts her frightened child in the dark, her love and instructions together help the child to learn that there are no boogeymen under the bed or in the closet. That's the kind of edification that is needed. Now, both the weak brother and the strong brother need to grow. The strong believer needs to grow in love. The weak brother needs to grow in knowledge. I'll say that again. The strong brother needs to grow in love for the weaker brother. The weaker brother needs to grow in knowledge from the stronger brother. And so, consequently, it is a Christ-revealing ministry. For even Christ pleased not himself. That's it. It's a Christ-revealing ministry, always going out of our way to help and teach others. That's what Christ did. Looking for teachable hearts. That's what Christ did. And that is to be the kind of ministry that we are to have. Not pleasing ourselves, but being a blessing to others. It's a character-developing ministry, verses 4 and 5. Using the comfort of the Scriptures and being patient. It's a character-developing ministry. It's bearing the weaknesses of the weaker brothers, which is so difficult, so hard. Bearing the weaknesses. So let God develop patience, and then seek comfort from the Scriptures as he does. The Scriptures will give you comfort when those weaker brothers drive you crazy. But don't give up on them. You are there to help them and edify them. And it's a Christ-revealing ministry, a character-developing ministry. Thirdly, it's a critical spirit-defeating ministry, verses 6 and 7. It's teaching the truth. It's revealing the false. In other words, the spirit of Diotrephes, remember in 3 John 9, where John said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have preeminence among them, didn't receive us. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Verse 11, fellow brethren, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, he that doeth evil hath not seen God. See, the aged Apostle John was attacked by Diotrephes' vicious words. He wouldn't even receive the Apostle John, who was deeply loved by the Master. It's the same attitude toward God's men today at times. Some people just are so hateful toward preachers and pastors and God's men. They're like Diotrephes. Interestingly enough, Diotrephes' name is going to be eternally recorded for his impertinence against God's man. Isn't that sad? See, sadly, some will never learn to love somebody they disagree with until a family member goes that path. Then they've got to choose to love and keep family relationships together or break fellowship. But aren't we all in God's family? Yes, we are. And so you who are so quick to judge other members of God's family because you disagree with them, how sad it would be for something like that to happen to someone in your family, for somebody in your family to begin to believe the same way. Then the question is, how are you going to treat them? That's how you ought to be treating every member of God's family. See, we love dear friends in other churches that may have different styles of music. We fellowship them with joy. We rejoice in the souls that are being saved in those churches. Well, then why can't we fellowship with people in our own church that have a different style of music, a different attitude? You see, we are not receiving one another. We're not edifying one another. And we are not building up one another. I guess here's the question. Do you love your children even though they've chosen to have different convictions? Maybe they have left your church. Maybe they've gone to other churches. Do you still love them? See, that's what God wants for every church member. Even though there are folks in your church that have different convictions, that see things differently, God wants you to love them like you would love a member of your own family. Why? Because the final goal is God's glory to be seen in the church. God's glory to be seen in the church. Not conflict, but God's glory. Not arguing, but God's glory. Not judging, but God's glory. So I guess the question that I want to summarize our thoughts today with would be this. Are your personal preferences just an excuse to sin? Because that's not okay with God. Let's let God be the judge. You have your own personal preferences in those gray areas. Let others have their own personal preferences in those gray areas. And we should just simply be asking ourselves, am I pleasing one another? Is that my goal? It says in those seven verses of Romans 15 that we are to be receiving one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Isn't it amazing that Christ received you? Stop and think about that. Isn't it of grace that God received you? Now, were you a perfect person when God received you? Are you a perfect person now? No, none of us are. But God received you. Now, if God receives all of us who are his children, that doesn't mean we're perfect. It's kind of like the songwriter said, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How lovely and patient he must be. He's still working on me. And so be patient with other believers. God's not finished with them. And God's not finished with you. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.